Second hour, Darren Dunnick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Dunnick, Derek Mason with you here on this Tuesday. David Poyle coming up in about 10 minutes or so, Predators general manager. Our weekly chat with him. We'll talk about this Predators team that is in Seattle tonight to take on the Kraken. So their first trip out there to take on the Kraken. Remember, they started this regular season. Their first game was here hosting Seattle. I can't tell where this came from because I don't see where the Titans have put out an official release, but I don't know who to give credit for.
Hey, Darren, before you do that, let me just throw – can I throw one quick note in just for our listeners? We obviously, our game for the Predators is always on 102.5. Tonight, though, is one of those ESPN Plus broadcasts. So if you want to watch the game, it's an ESPN Plus exclusive tonight against Seattle. So just want to let people know on that.
Yep. Not Bally, back at it. You guys will be back at it on Thursday. So tonight is one of those ESPN Plus games. So keep that in mind when they drop the puck at 9 o'clock. And, of course, you can sync up your television to the radio and listen to Pete Weber. Pete Weber and J.P. Dumont tonight. Just saying.
Yes, that is
8 o'clock, 8 o'clock pregame. So I'm seeing this all over the place, and I don't know – like I said, I don't know who to give credit for. I don't see any official release from the Titans, but it's out there. Looks like they are moving on from Jim Haslett. They're moving on from the defensive line coach, which is pretty interesting, and the assistant strength and conditioning coach. Those are the three that I see. Have you guys seen anything else?
No, I don't. I mean, I understand, in a sense, the inside linebackers coach because it was a swing and a miss, what, 2 years ago on not Landry, but what's the other backer? Goodness, from Alabama.
Oh, Rashawn Evans?
Yeah, Evans, Rashawn Evans. It's been sort of a swing and a miss on Rashawn Evans. The defensive line coach, I don't understand that one. I really don't. Because that's been, you know, beside Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown, I mean, that defensive line has been the bright spot on the Titans roster. And then the strength and conditioning assistant, I don't understand that one either. Because I was talking with Chase and got a chance to run into Retro before he left the building. I don't necessarily blame the injuries on the strength and conditioning aspect of it in the Titans building. If you're going to change anybody, wouldn't you change the head guy before you change the assistant guy? If you change an assistant guy, are you telling me the head guy really doesn't work with the players? I don't know. But I've seen a rash of injuries ever since the NFL has changed these rules in regards to guys being able to come in or when coaches can have them in. Prior to that, there were injuries, but not this many. So it might not be the conditioning coaches, because you see it across the NFL. It might be the way things are structured now, where these strength and conditioning coaches and coaches don't have enough time with their players. So I'm not going to just dump everything on the strength and conditioning coaches, because 90% of the time during the offseason, probably more than that, they're not with the strength and conditioning coach. You heard Vrabel the other day in a press conference about when guys come back. So you can't put it all on the strength and conditioning coaches. I just don't understand those two moves.
Well, I mean, without knowing the dynamic, I mean, it's something to do with just doesn't, you know,
it could be contracts.
I mean, there's always a reason, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's, you know, maybe they don't work, you know, and play well with others. You know what I mean? It could be just they're not on the same page.
But you know
contract,
what will be said, Willie and Darren, when you see a strength and conditioning coach get fired, a team that had a rash of injuries, everybody's going to say about time. They may, and that may not have been the case.
But will they say that about the assistant? I mean, isn't this?
I mean, assistant guys do a lot of work. Whether people know it or not, they work just as hard as the main guy. they have relationships with those players that the main guy don't.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, it's a good point.
Very, very easy scapegoat target when a team has injuries. Oh, it must be that they don't have a good training staff or strength and conditioning. I don't buy it.
Yep.
And well, obviously, clearly Mike Vrabel, with his reaction, does not buy it.
Yeah, of course. I was going to say, clearly the head coach doesn't buy it. But, I mean, also, what do you expect him to say? Again, what do you want him to say? Like, yeah, you know, we could definitely get better in that area.
But people act like he doesn't study that. And that was the other thing. Like, he had the reaction. So, A, you could say, yeah, he's just defending his guys. But, B, he went on to say, like, we study this, guys. Like, this is a very, very important part of the game. We do a lot of research, right? So it's not for lack of effort. We don't just have trainers coming in saying, hey, guys, take some salt tablets and, you know, don't take water breaks and, you know, just stretch on your own. You know, it's not, they put all kinds of time and energy into what's the best way to do this. Now, it's not the trainer from the 1970s, you know.
Bear no water?
No. Yeah.
Turn off all the water fountains.
Remember Junction Boys? They're like, oh, you don't take water, man. You don't need water.
Toughen up.
Toughen up.
Rub some dirt on it.
Yeah.
Toughen up, Buttercup. Come on. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, you just went back like decades.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Like 4 decades.
Goodness. Well, and again, a lot of this could have been contractual issues where they just decided to part ways. They were not going to re-sign a guy. The guy could have been on a 1 or 2 year deal. We just don't know. But from the outside looking in, many fans are going to say, well, good. They fired him because a bunch of Titan players were getting hurt. Well, fans, Titan players are not really in the building. Vrabel even told you that during the press conference. These guys are not in the building until, you know, I guess April, somewhere around there. May, late April.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't put a lot of it on the shoulders of the training, I mean the conditioning coaches. A lot of it has to fall on the player himself.
Yeah, but you know, I like I said, I don't know why. I don't pretend to know why there was a parting of ways there, but you know. It is what it is. I'm just passing along that they've moved on from some of their coaches. The question is, and I, you know, I think we all know the answer is, will there be, you know, because the ones that get the headlines are, you know, the coordinators, right? Is there going to be anything done, you know, with any of the coordinators, Todd Downing in particular? And my guess is, you know, listening to Mike Vrabel yesterday, as I suspected, no, you're just not going to tell him to switch his coordinators. We know how he operates. If you tell him they're not good enough, he's just going to dig in deeper. And, you know, right now he was right about Shane Bowen. Shane Bowen, you know, did turn things around. I don't know why you didn't trust him the year before and name him the DC, but you didn't. And you couldn't figure out why people had all these questions when you didn't name anybody a DC. And so you figured out, hey, it's probably good to put, you know, a title on somebody. And that worked out. And so I think, you know, the defense massively improved. And I know that'll be the focus this offseason because right now the offense is going to get beat up the entire offseason. It just is because it regressed. It went the wrong direction. And oh, by the way, they, you know, they tried to add to that. And you could say, you know, going out and getting Julio Jones and think about the running backs. I mean, if there's anything we learned about this Deontay Evans injury is it did pave the way for maybe they found some new alternatives, right, at that position. Because I don't think they're going to move on from those guys. I think Hilliard and Foreman were pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, you know, it's all going to come down to money. We know that. But we'll continue the discussion a little bit later in the show. But we'll come back, switch gears. We'll talk to Predators GM David Poile. We do the next. Back here on the DDC, our show is presented by Creation CBD Products, curated for life. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, Derek Mason with you, now joined by Predators General Manager Dave Poile. Nashville in Seattle tonight to take on the Kraken. That'll be a 9 o'clock puck drop. Pre-game right here at 8 o'clock. I'll have that for you, and you can listen to the game right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. David, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good. First time I've been in Seattle for a long, long time. Way back, I came here to watch the odd junior game, but looking forward to going over in the next hour to the building, getting a little bit of a tour there, and then we're actually going to go out to see their practice facility with Pete Rogers, our trainer, David Good, our strength coach, and Kevin Morley, our medical trainer, just to kind of look at what they've got going and, you know, look at new ideas, the latest and the greatest, if you will. So looking forward to my day here in Seattle.
Yeah, it is interesting. So you talk to people, and while this is your first trip there, you know, talking to people in these circles about Seattle's first season, how do you think right now, how has it worked in that market? There was a huge expectations. I know they're not where they thought they would be in the standings, sitting dead last in the Pacific, but what's kind of been the feedback when you've asked around about the Kraken to this point?
Well, I think the probably the most important thing, I think they've established their the NHL product, if you will, here in Seattle. I think they've done a fantastic job in the last, you know, year or so leading up to this in terms of all the things that they've done and, you know, the hirings that they've made throughout the organization and sort of their, I guess you call it their longer-term plan. So it looks like from a business model and in terms of the interest that they have in this community, that they're off to a fantastic start. You know, on the ice, I think it's a tricky situation. I mean, there was no doubt that they were going to be compared to Vegas, and that was going to be a tough model to follow. I think, you know, since Vegas, I think the other 31 teams in this case have all kind of looked at the expansion in a little bit different way, and where Vegas was able to make a lot of deals and get draft raises and oftentimes younger players, I don't think that Seattle was quite as fortunate. But, you know, they're seem to be competing at a higher level now. I mean, I was just thinking this morning, like we've been talking there every show about how the Predators really have a good identity this year. I think when you have 25 or so new players thrown in from different organizations and playing different systems, that is probably not the easiest thing to find an identity. And, you know, right now, you know, there's some things that are going really good for them and other things that they're struggling at. So it's, you know, going back to the day when we started in Nashville, I think that we were a really tough out as an expansion team, but you know, we had some areas where we play as well as the other team, but the score would end up being 3-2. We'd be on the wrong side of the 3-2 because we just couldn't get that third goal. The other night, they beat the second-best team in points right now in the league in Florida, and the reason why they did that is they scored some goals. They ended up getting five goals. And all in all, you know, I think it's a normal start for an expansion franchise, but I think the fact that they're in Seattle and the support they have, I think they're going to have a really strong franchise.
Because of the Dante Fabbro injury, it's given opportunity for other guys. I know Jeremy Davies got to step in there. You've got guys like Phil Myers on the roster and Harper, but you decided the last couple of games, the last couple of wins, in fact, Thursday and Saturday, to give Matt Tennyson an opportunity to get in there. One, how did you arrive to that decision of giving him a chance to play alongside Mark Borowiecki on that third D pairing? And two, what did you make of his two games where he had three assists?
Yeah, very, very good. We weren't necessarily counting on the offensive production, but we'll take it, and it certainly brings attention to him when he's producing like that. I think it was a really good signing for us. We're really happy to do that. We signed Matt to a 2-year deal in a depth position to challenge for a position here in Nashville. He's played parts of in the National League over a few seasons, so he's a veteran player and he has had some experience. I mean, he plays hard all the time and he plays safe. And right now, what we're trying to do is look at what depth we have. Like, the trading deadline's March 21st, I believe. And traditionally, if we're a competitive team, you want to add a forward, or you want to add a depth defenseman, which we know last year we had Gabranson, and the year before we had, I think it was Holes or what have you, and you have giving up a draft pick to do that. So with Davies and Tennyson, we're using this this time, the situation with when Boro was out to put Davies into the left-handed shot, and when Faber was out a right-handed shot to give Matt Tennyson a try to see whether we feel confident in our depth of, in this case, would be up to 10 defensemen, which if you make the playoffs and you have any run in the playoffs, you probably need that. So far, so good, and that you know, we're just going to go over to the rink here shortly. But you know, Favreau's not on this trip, so you know, Tennyson will get in his third game tonight. So good for him, and hopefully we'll find out a little bit more about how our defense looks after tonight.
Yeah, you told us last week that Dante Favreau was going to miss. You didn't see him playing in the homestand. Now you're saying he's not going to play on this road trip. Any new news on Dante Favreau?
I think he will be ready to play on our Tuesday game against Vancouver. So he's going to miss two more games, and then our last game before the so-called break, I would expect that he would be ready to play. Same thing with Tolvanen, who's not on the trip, and I believe he should be hopefully ready to play on February 1st also. So
okay.
We brought up Matt Luff, which is going to be probably announced a little bit later. Or was it? I think it was announced yesterday, and he practiced with us, and you know, it would be either he or Cole Smith, who's played a couple of games, I think three games for us now, and Luff has played seven or eight games, so one of those guys is going to get another chance. So it's all good in terms of giving, you know, some guys some opportunity and for us seeing what kind of depth we have as we move along in the season.
Very good. So look for those guys in the month of February. Matt Duchene had two goals in the win Saturday night over Detroit. Now 19 goals on the season, and you guys have just played 43 games. You know the narrative all off season. What do you think's changed? I mean, he's obviously having quite the start to the season, and now you're in the second half of the season. But what do you think has been the biggest difference for Matt Duchene's success, where he sits right now with 19 goals, just one behind Forsberg for the team lead?
Well, I think you know, you talk about off years, you talk about rock bottom, and you know, a lot of different things. It's the last year or so has been so difficult for teams and players, and you know, different things with the COVID and what have you. I'm not using that as an excuse, but it's never been a you know, ideal situation. And as we say, it's, you get up in the morning like, what's the fire drill going to be today? Because it's always something you know, going on. Again, lots of things. I mean, talks after the season, a little bit with myself, but mostly with John Hines and the coaching staff. You know, what the expectations are. And again, it's you never try to ask somebody to do something that they're not capable of. And I think Matt, and again, it's not just Matt. You know, when you ask the question, you know, is Forsberg playing on a more consistent basis? It's re-signing a Granlund to be, you know, I would say the glue between those guys and a very consistent performer. It's talking to Ryan Johansson about his game and what we need from him. And I think, you know, they've all got better and more consistent, and they've been the drivers and the leaders of our team. And it's allowed us to have a fair bit of success, maybe more than people expect at this point. And, you know, guys like, you know, Trennan and, you know, Tolvanen and the other guys have all benefited from their good play, because, you know, it changes matchups, and you know, you're scoring goals and you're getting a lead, and other guys are, you know, in more favorable situations. So, I mean, Matt Duchene has been a really good player for his entire career. I love the fact he's got 19 goals. I love the fact that he's shooting more than he's passing. He and I sort of have a running discussion about that all the time, because he's such a good playmaker too. But I also think, along with Philip Forsberg, they probably have the two best shots in our team. So again, he's got 19. Phillip's got 20. That's pretty good for you know, for your first line. So happy for Matt, and obviously happy for us. And it just feels like he's in a really, really good place in a lot of ways this year.
We're talking to David Poile, Predators general manager. They're in Seattle tonight. Game, of course, can be heard on 102.5 The Game. It's a 9 o'clock start, and it'll be carried also on ESPN Plus. For the telecast. David, I want to ask you about Phil Tomasino. It's as you know, and you preach every year, you know, the ideal track many times is to have a guy get a lot of seasoning in Milwaukee. Philip Tomasino has made a pretty quick jump with not a whole lot of AHL games, and he's got a unique role. But I like how he's sort of flashing the skill, and he's providing a little punch from that role that he's playing right now, some fourth line and some power play time. He's got a little surge here. It's not a dominant performance, but you got to like what you're seeing in the now, but also in the long term.
Yeah, Philip, I think, is going to be a real good player for us. I mean, he's playing primarily on the fourth line. Thus, he does not get a lot of ice time. He's not killing penalties. He's playing oftentimes in the second power play. Again, we can go to debate this. Would he be served better by playing first line in Milwaukee and getting 20 minutes? And I almost always that's the way we go, but. Again, every once in a while, Philip, gets a point, scores a goal every game, regardless of his minutes. He always gets a couple of chances, and he is a forward that can move up to one of your top two lines. Oftentimes, and I'm not saying this in a disrespectful way, but if we're bringing up, say Cole Smith, who's played, he's got to make the team, and he's probably got to make it at the fourth line. So right now, there's no expectations for him to move up. It's just the hope is that he can make it on the fourth line. Whereas Tomasino, knock on wood here, by his own play or if something goes wrong, an injury or what have you, he is the guy that has a chance to go up and play on the higher lines. And we've done it a few times. And I would think as the season goes along, you'll probably see that a little bit more. So, again, I really believe in Philip as a young player and his future with the Predators. And I do think he's probably going to get a few more opportunities and hopefully a little bit more ice time as the season goes along.
And do you feel like he is learning the game the way he needs to? He's just got to learn it at this level. There are some guys that do it, certainly around the league. You see, we just saw a couple in Detroit, that are learning on the job as well. But as you said, you want him to be able to develop his game long-term so that when he does step into that top role, he's ready for all the little things that you face.
Well, that's really the decision that we've made, and what he does in practice oftentimes is as important as what he's doing in the games. Are his details, is his defensive play where we want it to be? I think he has to be sounder in that, stronger in those areas. The danger, the risk reward of a play. A good comparison, probably for me, would be Tolvin, who's been playing primarily with Ryan Johansson this year. Now, Tolvanen comes in as a goal scorer, and again, he's had trouble scoring goals this year. But on the other hand, he has been really good defensively. He's been really strong and deep, more physical than he's ever been before. So his attention to details, his defensive play, all that has been really good. And we have to hope that his calling card, his strong suit, his goal scoring is there. Somewhere, and that will eventually come back, because we've always felt that he would score goals. What we worried about is how strong he could be and how good he could be defensively. So it's that process that we're always talking about. And Philip can score goals. He gets chances. The puck comes to him, and it's just going to take a little bit of time. But when he gets whenever he gets a point or he gets a goal, those are games that we're usually winning.
David, as you size up, most of the teams now around the halfway point, you guys have played maybe a handful more games than some of the competition here. But as you look at February, the games are very spaced out for you. While a lot of teams will have a busy month, you guys will have less busy. But tell me how you see the Central Division. For example, in the Eastern Conference right now, you can almost name the eight teams, barring somebody making a huge run. The haves and the have-nots are getting pretty separated, whereas the West looks still a lot deeper. There's still a lot of work to do.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really close. By the end of February, as you said, because of the rescheduling and makeup games, for the most part, when you get to to March 1st, we'll probably all have played the same amount of games. So instead of sometimes I always look at the points, but sometimes people are looking at the percentages. I think it's going to be really close in the Central in our whole conference. I mean, obviously Colorado looks like the best team, and they're kind of running away right now. They haven't lost, and I mean the only game they've lost, I think, was an overtime test, and lost 15 or 16 games. St. Louis, who we played last week, and they beat us, and I thought a really close game. I mean, they're next up. Minnesota is really been playing well. We're ahead of them by a few points, but they got four or five games in hand, and you know they're going to be tough to beat out. So you know, three teams get in from each division, and then it goes by the points. So could you get four? Could you get five teams in our division? Dallas has struggled a little bit this year. Now I believe they won three or four in a row, so they're not out of it. You know, Winnipeg that we had in the other night, they're going to be a tough out. So I mean, we're playing well, and our points percentage, whatever, is really good. But it's going to be a real push just to make the playoffs. I'm very happy with our record. I was looking at that on the plane right here. I think we're one of the best records against teams in the Central Division. And because we play an unbalanced schedule, that's going to play out to be very important by the end of the year. The games that you win against the teams in your division, just like beating Winnipeg the other night, that's a classic 4-point game, if you will. So and then on this trip now we play Edmonton. Like, we played Edmonton 10 games in the season. I would have thought they had one of the best teams in the league and was going to win the Stanley Cup, and they're now on the outside looking in. But I can't believe for a second that they're not better than their record, and they're not going to have a big push here in the second half of the season. So it's good. It's why we're in sports, because we love the competition, and it's going to be a battle, as it should be, right to the end to see who gets in the playoffs.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really good. Go ahead, Darren.
I was just going to say that I agree. It's going to be interesting to see how different this Edmonton team looks than at the beginning of the season, because they did have huge expectations, and man, they have been kind of a tire fire here.
But they got a big win the other night, you never know if they're waking up. You hate to be the few teams that are lined up against them as they do wake up, because they certainly have the talent.
No doubt. David, thanks for doing this as always. Have a great week. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Predators General Manager David Poile, 11:15 on Tuesdays. Appreciate him joining us. I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Croatian CBD. You hear me talk about them every day because they present our show. And if you're looking for a solution for the aches and pains you deal with on your body, like pretty much all of us do, whether it's because you're really active, whether it's just because you're getting older and your body isn't cooperating. I mean, there's lots of reasons why you have aches and pains, or it's an old injury, whatever it is, and you're looking for a solution. Well, I've got it. Croatian CBD. Croatian means healing, and that right there says a lot. It's locally and organically sourced CBD products from right here in Middle Tennessee. From seed to final cell, Croatian is passionate about providing quality products for everyday use for you and for your pets, too. Listen to this story. We have a female German Shepherd that has had seizures for over 3-plus years. And back in August, we started her on Croatian CBD, their pet tincture. And if you have a pet that has had the same type of medical issues as our female German Shepherd, where they have seizures, and you're looking for anything to relieve that, something to change that narrative, because it didn't matter how many pills or vet visits, nothing changed. Since August, there's only been one time, and it was our mistake. We ran out of the pet tincture. It was our goof, and it took us 5 days to get more pet tincture from Croatian CBD. Like I said, our fault. It'll never happen again, because in that span, we took her off the pet tincture, 40 seizures. We get her right back on it. She hasn't had one since. That was months ago. I'm here to tell you, that's been our experience. Since last August, when she's been on the pet tincture, nothing. We goofed up, and she went 5 days without it. She had 40 seizures. It's changed our life. It's changed her life. It can change your life, too, if you've got a pet that has that medical condition or just has anxiety, whether it's thunderstorms or when you leave the house. That can calm them down as well. Do me a favor. When you check out with your order at CroatianCompany.com, use the code DDC25. DDC25, you'll get 25% off your order at CroatianCompany.com. It's Croatian CBD, curated for life. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. The new deal this week, half off $25 gift card to Hard Rock Cafe. Check that out. I'm one of the best music scenes in the country. There's no better place for great food, a vibrant atmosphere, most importantly, a love of music to keep in tune with the good times, tradition that Nashville is known for. Hard Rock Cafe. Well, they have karaoke nights on Thursdays. You can visit hardrockcafe.com for all your upcoming events. Check out Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. Remember that. Half off $25 gift card to Hard Rock Cafe. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. And D-Mace here on this Tuesday. Special thanks to David Poyle for joining us like he always does. Predators out in Seattle tonight to take on the Kraken for the first time in their new building. Remember, they started their season here hosting the Kraken. I'll have pregame for you at 8 o'clock here on these airwaves. Pete Weber and J.P. Dumont will have your call at 9 o'clock. Remember, not Bally Sports tonight. That'll be Willie and his crew this evening. It'll be ESPN Plus. So check that out. If you're looking for the game, it's going to be on ESPN Plus tonight. They'll be back in the saddle on Thursday when the Predators are out in Edmonton to take on the Oilers. Willie, you said you have a hockey question.
I have a
milestone hockey question.
Yeah, I got a quick one for you guys. And this would not be fair to ask to Derek, but Derek can weigh into this when I give you sort of the theme behind it. But, Darren, do you know what record will be broken tonight?
What record will be broken tonight?
A milestone record will be broken tonight.
When in doubt, Roman Yossi's usually in the middle. Hockey. So this is not Predators?
No, this is not a Predator. This is not involving a Predator. This is an NHL milestone that will be broken tonight.
NHL milestone tonight.
And the fact that you don't know it, it's kind of sad in a way. But I wouldn't have known it unless I was, just listening to a little NHL radio, and it popped up yesterday.
All right.
Keith Yandel will break
isn't he playing like
the all-time record. He will break the all-time record for consecutive game play.
Isn't it like
tonight.
1,000? Something like that?
I think it's 975 or 975, something like that. Think about this compared to Cal Ripken, right? Cal Ripken broke a record that people thought would never be broken, with the consecutive games in Major League Baseball in 1995. And what a big deal that was. And tonight it's going to be recognized around the league, but Keith Yandel is certainly no Cal Ripken. But it's an amazing feat when you think about how many ways you can miss a hockey game. Just the last couple years, if you get COVID, you're out.
Right.
A puck hits you randomly in the hand or the ankle or something, and you got to miss a couple games. This guy has not missed a game.
Wow.
But he's also, it's weird because he hasn't played real well the last couple years. He's been a really good player in the league for a long time. Great quarterback of power plays. But he was going to be benched by Joel Quenneville last year, and they had a guy get hurt and he stayed playing. The Flyers are really, really struggling, the team he plays for now. They've lost 12 in a row, and there's a lot of Flyer fans going, we got to get some young new guys in there. And so they haven't really guaranteed that they're going to keep playing him. So it's just so interesting to contrast that, even though it is a pretty amazing feat that he's doing.
I mean, it's amazing. It's a amazing feat in any sport, especially when the sport is so physical.
Yes.
I.e. hockey, obviously, football, sports like that where there's constant contact and you play so many games. For a guy to go that long without missing it, you got to take your hat off to him. I don't care if he's a great player or just an average player. You got to take your hat off to the guy.
And so, Derek, you first of all, you played with Bruce Matthews, who I think was up there. I'm trying to remember what the record is in football. Is
Brett Favre, or is it someone broke it? Didn't they? I thought Eli was on his way to breaking it, and he ended up getting benched.
I think that's right. I think you're right. And it was.
I know for a long time when we were growing up, Jim Marshall had it for a long, long time.
Uh-huh.
I feel like Bruce Matthews came pretty close.
Yeah, or either his brother Clint came pretty close.
Yes.
Clay,
yeah. Because Clay played for, what, 20 years?
I think 19.
19, yeah.
I think. So, they both hovered around two decades,
Jim Marshall,
right?
I'm looking it up now. Jim Marshall had 270, and that was the standard for a long, long time. But you guys are right. Brett Favre, 297 is the longest.
Which is pretty amazing at that position.
In that era
and his style, right? Because, I mean, it's not like he was a guy that just, I mean, he was out, he was mobile.
He ran around.
Get out there. He ran around, which always put you in danger.
They were not protecting the quarterbacks back then.
No, not like they are. Not like they are today.
No. Mm-mm.
So, Derek, you missed two games in 2002. I don't remember why.
It was a rib injury.
Okay.
I cracked a rib, I believe, and I ended up missing a game or two in that season. But those were only two games. Yeah.
Yeah. And then for some reason, you missed one in 2001.
You know, that might have been the crack rib game. And the other was, it might have been a knee injury. I had surgery, or was it my shoulder injury? I injured my shoulder in Oakland.
And then you went from 03 to 2010. Without ever missing a game, 8 consecutive years without missing a game. That's pretty tough to do. And then you think about some of these guys we're talking about.
Yeah.
So 8 times 16, I got to do the math in my head.
It's not like I shouldn't have missed some games, because I should have.
Yeah.
But
so you know what that's like, to be able to go out when you're not feeling perfect, you know, and still get the job done.
Yeah, somebody, it's just, you know, guys like that are just different breed of players.
They 82 just... games every year for Keith Yandel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's over a decade for sure.
Pretty amazing. Whew,
man.
And then there's a guy named, you know, Darren, you know this guy well, but Phil Kessel, the speculation is that he, because he's only like, I don't know, 30 or 40 behind him, eventually it's going to be Kessel, because he's a more productive player. He's got a good chance when Yandel's streak ends, maybe later this season, that Kessel could end up with the record ultimately.
I wouldn't be surprised. The Flyers thing is a mess. Yeah. I mean, they're just an absolute mess.
It is gone. You know, Ryan Ellis has only played 4 games, and they don't know when he's coming back. They had a 10-game losing streak earlier this year, and right now they're in the midst of a 12-game losing streak. Nothing has gone right for them. That's what's interesting. We're talking to David Poyle about this, that the East, if you take a look right now, you can probably put a bet down and safely say, here are the 8 teams that are going to be in the playoffs, barring a huge run. Now, maybe the Islanders, who have a ton of games in hand, if they got on a red hot streak, but it is an uphill climb.
It feels like their hole is pretty deep.
Oh, big time. But in the West, it's, you know, the Predators have done a really nice job to get to this point, and they are in a solid position at the moment. But there are a lot of teams that, if you take a look, they're not mathematically out of it at all. It's much deeper field.
It's crazy. The East is like the haves and the have-nots.
Oh,
I mean, there is a huge divide. It's like they've got the Berlin Wall, right? You've got one side is going, and the other half has got – the other side of the wall's got nothing going for them, but I guess they're like, well, we'll just worry about the draft position, because they're going nowhere. It's amazing.
And so there will be a lot of people on the market. So that's what that probably equates to.
Yep.
That there will be some people out there. That's why I was intrigued. You know, you asked David Poyle correctly about some of the depth defensemen. That's one area I think they're evaluating. Do they want to try to make an upgrade there? You know, is it worth a third or fourth round pick? I don't know that they're in a mode right now of wanting to trade a first round pick or anything major with the way that they're building the roster right now. It's still, I think, you know, something they're building towards over the next couple of years as they continue to get younger, the transition that he's always talking about. But, you know, you got a team in the thick of it right now. That there might be a guy or two you could get without giving up a whole lot to add some depth. But I don't know what you think, Darren, but I think that's because of the way this is shaping up. It's going to be very competitive. So what's the right piece to add or two if you're going to make a move like that?
I don't know.
What are you willing to give up?
I don't really know. You know, to be real honest.
And you've got time. Right? You don't have to figure this out today.
Tell me the moves, the additions that have been great.
That's a good point, right? I mean, it's got to be the right person. And
why?
What do you do? Like, it's one thing
who
to
you
say,
taking
give
out?
Me a score. Yeah,
who
do
you
want to move
out?
Ellie Tolvanen down? Do you want to move Luke Cunningham down? Do you want to move Phil Tomasino out of the lineup? You know, they've got a pretty good thing going right now, so it's a delicate thing. You don't want to overcrowd your roster, but you also know that you might have a half a season where some guys get injured, and now you have a big need.
Well, Derek knows this. I mean, look, it's one thing to add somebody to your room, but they also got to fit in the room. I mean, right now this team has an identity, and they have a certain way of playing, and that's the only way you're going to get in the lineup, period. And so it's not about just adding somebody that's got nice stats. Do they fit what you're doing? Do they fit your room? And if we're just being honest, I mean, the last like 4 or 5 years, you tell me, they have been a very active team. Tell me the moves that have been great. Tell me the moves that have come in and been like, whoa.
Last year they were not that active, right?
No.
They added a depth defenseman in Eric Goodbranson, who they turned out to actually need and use some. But he was more of an insurance policy at the time. Yeah, it was a short-term deal, and they gave up a seventh-round pick. So I don't know if that's sort of the mode.
No, that's not really
this year.
That's not. I don't think that's what we're talking about. You're talking about a little bit of a splash. Not. I don't think you're asking about cannonball.
I'm just trying to size it up right now as I look at their roster. Right now, I think they – like, would you want to – move Alex Carrier or Dante Fabro down in the top four? I mean, Matt Benning and Mark Borowiecki look like a great third pair, but I do think the seventh, eighth, ninth spot, that's why I think Tennyson and Davies, they're looking at those guys. But could you use another veteran there as an insurance policy if somebody got hurt? Maybe. And that wouldn't cost you much. But when you're thinking, you know, do you want to add a top four guy or a top six guy? I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you want to mess with the development you're getting right now from a lot of young players like Tolvanen and Cunningham and Tomasino and Trennan and Janot, very young players that are going to be around for a while. And you love the energy and experience they're gaining right now. And hopefully they're going to keep getting better.
Well, unless you, like Darren said, unless, you know, whoever you want to add doesn't mess up the chemistry of what you have going, then, you know, maybe you do. But if you want to continue to allow these younger guys to develop and they fit the culture that you have established and you see them, you know, making strides on getting better, then why would you change it?
Well, that's been my whole thing. Last offseason, I said, look, it's just for me, it was like, it's just time to see the young guys. Like, I just don't have any interest in bringing in veteran. Like, let's just see what they have. And by the way, that's been the right move. And I once again,
it has been.
So you're going to
give them a chance.
I was the guy throwing out names like Tomas Tatar and, you know, some of the guys that, you know, veterans that might have added a little more experience and production. But they have been absolutely vindicated by just saying, let's see what these guys have got. And they gave them elevated roles, and they have jumped into it.
It all
starts with Johansson and Duchesne having the bounce-back seasons. That's put everybody in the right place. It's made it so much easier for everybody else.
Yeah, and Forsberg's having a big year, and so you're getting the production out of the big three, and then everybody else is fitting into their role. I mean, I just, once again, you got to take somebody out, and – I get it. Okay, so it'd be easy to point at a guy like Tomasino, right? Because he's young, right? He's very, very young. He's at the beginning. But why? I mean, why would you take him out? I mean, I get it. But do you want to stump? I mean, how's he ever going to get it if he doesn't experience it? I mean, how's he going to get all this experience if you take him out in big situations. And, oh, by the way, if you do make a move, what are you giving up? Because it needs to be short term. Because you're, I mean, to my knowledge, you plan on keeping somebody? I mean, then who are you taking out for good? I just think
a big
this
injury might change the way you look at
of
it.
Of course.
But right now, I agree with what you're saying. I kind of like what they're doing. I don't think you want to mess with it too much.
I think sometimes we overthink or think you must do something at the deadline, or oh my gosh, you know, it's just not going. You can't have success if you don't do something. No, I don't always agree with that. And I think right now the way this team is playing and what they have, I'm just really not that interested in taking somebody out of the lineup. I mean, what it does when you talk about those depth pieces, it does seem like, I don't know, it feels like Harper and Myers are kind of sliding back. It's very clear.
Yes.
There's something. It's right. They're getting passed up. There's something about their game that's just not to the level or to their liking because they keep experimenting with these guys. They, you know, they bring in Davies and then they bring in Matt Tennyson, and so it's clear right now they are sliding back and they're giving opportunities to other guys. So we'll see. The deadline's still a good ways away, believe it or not. It's still like a month and a half away. So still more time to kind of see how this is all going to play out in the standings. We'll come back. Hour number three of the show next.